meeting to order, please? Can I please get a roll call?
Yes, you may. Kurt Alsted.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Timothy Doherty. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Paul Richko.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Michael Sevetich.
Here.
Michael T. Fank. James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Wolf.
Here.
Thank you. Can you please read the Open Public Meetings Act, please?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting to newspapers or circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website.
Thank you. Everybody please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to approval of minutes. Can I get a motion?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Yes. Councilmember Alsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty. Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richko.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefang. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Here.
Yes. Chairman Riley.
Yes, for the portion that I was here. That brings it to the chair's report, which I have nothing at this time. It's covered under committee reports. Does any of the council members have anything they'd like to bring up at this point in time?
Chairman?
Yes, sir.
There's an issue that I'd like to bring to the council's attention, so I'm sure we're going to be dealing with it eventually. There is a casino that is planned for Tuxedo, New York, and there have been discussions, communications between the state of New York, state of New Jersey, over a period of a few years with regard to those negotiations. I think it's something that the council should be aware of. I've got some newspaper articles here that our executive director printed out for me. I'd like to get them to the rest of the council so we are up to date with this, so we're not behind the curve when it happens. We're actually ready for it and can act when appropriate.
Fair enough. Deputy Director filled me in on some of those comments as well, and I think it's good to get at least have some knowledge of it if actions are needed down the line. So, Margaret, you could take care of sharing some of that with council members.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other council members? Seeing none, move on. Ms. Dorsey.
Sir, I'd like to, as ever, highlight some of the items in the Executive Director's report. In plan conformance implementation, there have been a number of activities. Alexandria Township in Hunterdon has approved checklist ordinance. In Bethlehem Township, the master plan, a Highlands element, has been adopted by the municipality. In Lebanon Township, the Highlands Area Land Use Ordinance has been deemed consistent by the Highlands Council, and the Exemption Determination Authorization Ordinance was adopted by the municipality and certification issued by the Highlands Council. In the Patcon Borough, the master plan reexamination report and resolution were adopted by the municipality and deemed consistent by the Highlands Council. There are and other activities. These are under the ED's authority. You may remember in April, you approved an addition to our contract with Vertices to develop a stormwater management interactive mapping application. And it's pretty much done, but we wanted to have it field tested to see if there were any things in it that needed to be tweaked. And you'll see that in Byram Township, they agreed to do the road test, as it were. They used their DPW department, and we contributed $5,000 to the budget to do that. The overall budget was, I think, something like $6,500, so Byram also picked up part of the tab. I know Chris had a meeting on this morning. My understanding is that the road test went very well indeed. There are some things that Vertices still wants to tweak, but we should be bringing that to you for your review and hopefully happiness, because it's a cool application and one of the upcoming meetings. For the town of Phillipsburg, we awarded them an additional $23,500 for a plan conformance historic preservation planning element. That is part of our conformance grant process anyway. When Phillipsburg came through, they weren't thinking about that. As they got into some of the things that they're doing, particularly the Riverfront Heritage Trail, they came to the conclusion that identification of historic sites and districts was important as they started to revitalize their downtown, and that's what that grant is for. Under the exemption, delegated exemption determination, Highbridge and Hunterdon County had one exemption 4 issued, and West Milford had two exemption 2s issued and one exemption 5. On the HDC bank credit allocation and purchase update, there are 4 allocation determinations, 1 in Bloomingdale Borough and 3 in Harmony Township. And I do want to update you on Fenimore. You'll find in your packet an article that was on the front page of the Daily Record today, which is very informative. And I will supplement that with some information that I received in consultation with the DEP, Roxbury, and also the Morris County Soil Conservation. This is not in your packet. As we all know, the state has awarded the contract to begin phase 2 of a long-term odor abatement action at the Fenimore landfill. The contract has been awarded to the Edison, New Jersey-based Conti Enterprises, which has extensive experience with this type of landfill closure. Trucks started rolling on August 18th, and this truck traffic is expected to be significant through the end of October. Phase 1 is complete, and they're moving on to Phase 2, which is the installation of an impermeable liner and vegetative cap. The impermeable liner will be installed across the 19 acres where the SCP materials were deposited. Construction of the cap will take place mainly in the fall, when temperatures in and around the landfill are cooler. The cap consists of several layers. Clean fill will be placed on the SCP material to act as a cushion for the placement of the impermeable liner. A synthetic drainage net will be placed on the liner to allow rainwater to drain off of the liner. 18 inches of clean imported fill will be placed on top of the drainage layer to allow for a vegetative final layer on top, and this will most likely be a hardy grass mixture. Using the two synthetic layers significantly reduces the quantity of material that needs to be trucked in for a similar cap using all natural material. The township's engineer, Bob Zelli, agreed with the New Jersey DEP that the consulting fill material is clean virgin fill with residential standards and is acceptable for use in the Fenimore landfill cap subgrade. I know that there were a number of questions at last month's meeting on a stream that might run underneath the disturbed part of Fenimore. I checked with the DEP, Roxbury Township, and also the Morris County Soil Conservation District to make sure that my information was at least consistent with all three sources, and it is. And the information I have from these three sources is, although there are streams on the property, none of them run under the disturbed area. And that is my update on Fenimore. I do have the report from Mazur Consulting on the stream issue, if any of you would like to see it. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Question. Who did that Mazur report? I mean, who commissioned it?
It's, I believe the town commissioned it.
No, that's the state.
Okay, state commissioned it. Thank you.
But I'd like to see a copy.
Of course, you can
have
this copy if you like right now.
So. Yeah, I'd like to see a copy.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, that one is from Bob Zelfer, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, so that is the town, Mr. Chair? That was the town or the state?
Yes.
I will.
We are formally requesting a copy for each member, please.
I can do that.
And yes, it was orchestrated by the Township of Roxbury. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for on the AD report? Seeing none. We'll move along. That takes us to committee reports. I'll be quick. The Personnel Committee has met a couple times. We are in the process of scheduling interviews, hopefully next week. So just keeping you up to date. Budget and finance. Sorry, who's recording that on that?
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
The good news is we have received another request for a TDR study from Burnersville. This is a town that's going through changes, redoing their master plan, and they're looking to increase density in certain areas and to strengthen their downtown area. The good news is that it was unsolicited. We've had a couple of them happen now, and I think that we may finally be getting traction on TDR. So that's the good news. James is going to...
We thought we'd give you a little bit more information on Burnersville, why we think they're a great candidate for a TDR for the feasibility grant.
So Burnersville Borough is located in northeastern Bergen County. It has an area of about 2.9 square miles and a population of about 27,000. It's completely developed, and it's serviced by public wastewater and public water. And one of the reasons they're looking at this grant is they're just starting their master plan update process. Now, one of the reasons that Burnersville looks to be a very good fit for TDR is they have a fully developed commercial corridor along Washington Street, and it's all one-story development. And what they're looking to do as part of their master plan reexamination is looking at increasing development and allowing multi-story development over the existing. So that's a perfect opportunity, and given that Burnersville has very low vacancy rates for both residential and commercial, there's obviously a demand for development there. So what they're asking for is a standard $40,000 TDR feasibility grant. Phase one is the capacity analysis for $5,000. At that point, we take a look at what the town is proposing and to make sure the capacity is available. And if it's appropriate, then they can move forward with the remaining three phases. And $15,000 is set aside for the fiscal impact analysis. And they're looking to piggyback this onto their existing master plan update they've just started. That, in short, is the summary of the grant.
Great. Any questions? Seeing none, can I get a motion on this?
I'll move it.
A motion? In a second?
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
So a motion and a second. Any comments?
Just one. As far as four phases go, what is the overall timing of phase one and the rest?
Phase one is usually within 1 to 2 months. The overall grant is expected to be completed in 6 to 9 months.
At this point in time, I'd like to open it up to the public. Does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Erica Van Ocken from the New Jersey Islands Coalition. Just want to say that we support this. Burnersville seems like the model community to be part of this program, and we hope that it's successful. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak on this issue? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and part of the introductory comments on this application was that it was fully built out. So why are you investigating a town that is fully developed? I don't understand it. Does this mean that the planner, the municipal engineer, have nothing to do, and they're looking for another source of revenue to tap into? I'm opposed to this. It's sketchy. It's just another dollar of cash that's to be handed out to quote the professionals of these towns to attempt to, well, quite frankly, they have nothing to do. So this is what they're going to do. They're going to study it to death. So I'm against this.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Yes, sir.
My name is Dave Pfeiffer. I'm Highlands Project Director for the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. We'd like to say that we strongly support the grant award to Burnersville. We believe that it's got potential for intensifying its urban development, as illuminated by your staff. And we hope you will make the award today. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this issue? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any further council comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtoy.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Tiefen. Councilmember Vizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Wall.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes. That brings us to our next order of business, the HDC Bank Committee, and I will ask Mr. Walton to report up.
Sure. Well, we discussed at length what we're going to do with the money we're receiving at the PSC&G, plus we had a Roseland Commission project, and we have two things we're going to do with that money. One is to create an open space matching fund, where the Highlands Council will contribute to acquiring both in fee simple and also development rights, open space projects and parcels throughout the Highlands region. The rest of it will be used for, or another portion of it will be used for, a purchasing of HDC credits. The staff has already created a form for an application. They've also created an internal form for review. We are going to encourage the use of the dual appraisal method in these open space applications. The priority will be given to those places that are in the most strict or severe environmental zone as laid out in the master plan. The next criteria will be proximity to the power lines and then use of the dual appraisal method as well. There will be a ceiling set on grants. We will only match 50% of the project's cost. And we will only give money to municipalities, counties, or other 501c3 land trusts. Individuals will not be able to come to us directly. They'll have to come with a municipality, a county, or some sort of not-for-profit. On the HDC side of things, the bank will be closing out the allocation program. Prior rounds, until we've established new criteria for the next rounds. The bank hardship criteria will not be used in any future funding programs. And finally, Member Dressler suggested, and all of us concur, that we will be discussing in more depth at our next meeting property owner compensation specifically. Everything we're doing here is in some way landowner compensation that landowners who are in the Highlands region can come to the Highlands Council, towns, counties, and nonprofits and seek some sort of restitution for their lost property value. But we'll be more specifically talking about ways we can make that compensation easier and better at our next meeting.
That's all. Thank you.
Unless you have any questions.
Any questions? None? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Walton. I think there's a lot of good news in there.
Yes.
That brings us to the Plan Conformance Committee. Then we'll call on Mr. Richfield.
Plan Conformance Committee met prior to this meeting. We discussed Hardison Township, and our staff is going to make a little presentation now, and I'll tell you the results of our discussions after the presentation.
All right. We're going to use the same format that we used to explain the towns that we're recommending for checklist approach as we did last time.
Put it over so I have it.
In Hardison Township, there's really only one lot that we thought might be appropriate or really capable of having the three septic systems on it that give it the threshold level for review. This piece of land is 182 acres. It's partially forested. It contains agricultural lands that may be significant to the Highlands Land Use Ordinance, as I said, three or more residential units may be able to be put there on septic. This is what the piece of property looks like, and we also put on, how the calculation was arrived at. For the forested areas, which require 88 acres per septic, there are 143 acres. Divided by 88, you get 1.63 acres. For non-forested acres, which are the yellow, and require 25 acres per septic, there were 38.3 acres, which yield 1.53 acres. Put those two together, you have 3.16 acres, which puts it over the threshold for review. And this is the chart that we've shown you before, the developable land potential for disturbance of 1 acre or more of land, which is zero in Hardison. New impervious surface, 1/4 acre or more, also zero. New or expanded use, not permitted by ordinance, zero. And as I said, one lot that might have three or more dwelling units if residential. There's other information in your packet on Hardison in general, showing the preservation area and the planning area. Hardison is conforming for preservation only.
and I will turn it back to Mr. Richko to explain what's going to happen.
The committee agreed with the recommendation of the staff that the checklist can be used for Hardisting Township. We will vote on it next time as a full council, as we had discussed at the last meeting. This way will give the council members and the members of the public a chance to speak to the staff if they have any questions.
Great. Any comments?
Yes. A couple things. First of all, it's great that we have now this time to review. I think it's a proper way to do it, and the public has a chance to look at it, particularly because we just met today, and certainly wasn't enough time for even the committee members to take a hard look at this. But I would like to request that we apply all of the layers of analysis that we can through our GIS process and not leave it up to the council members to go into that on their own. Normally when a township would come in for conformance using the land use ordinance approach, there would be a long report, and we would be able to see laid out in the text what value level the forested areas are, the agricultural areas, waterways, any sorts of wetlands or other important environmental features, whether or not it was a recharge area, all of the various indicators that are so important for the evaluation of Highlands lands. So I would request that we have a much more complete report that's presented to the council to do this analysis, and that way we could make an informed decision based on what resources are being disturbed. I understand what you're saying, that there's one lot and could be three or more dwelling units if it's residential, and that is really an estimate that's made on the part of our staff, but certainly it's nothing carved in stone. So as you know, I'm opposed to the checklist ordinance being used, particularly in the preservation area, but I think it puts in high relief the problems that we have with doing this very shallow analysis of the resources on the property.
It's noted. I'll bring it up to the committee itself, but I remind you that the checklist ordinance is no stronger or weaker than the municipalities in the past. So,
I have a question. Is there anything, any other information on this property that's not online that we could look up on the website?
Everything that the staff has is online through the GIS.
Everything is online.
Even the parcel ownership side.
Do you have a comment on this? A point of information that Tracy just said that it could be three or more developable lots, is only three maximum.
Well, it says three or more in the document. It says three or more dwelling units.
That property was the only one identified that could handle three or more. Not that it itself could handle three or more.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Richko. We'll have that on the next agenda. That brings us to the Regional Master Plan Update Committee, and I will now turn to Mr. Austin.
The committee continues to meet monthly. The three critical elements that we continue to work on are the web portal, the monitoring program, and the fiscal impact assessment. And today we have a series staff and guest speakers who are going to review some of these items for the benefit of the entire council and the public. And we're going to start with, I believe, Corey, who's going to provide a little tutorial on the fiscal impact assessment.
Corey?
Thank you, Kurt. Good afternoon. The RMP update, recognized in the RMP as the monitoring program, is not intended to amend the RMP, but rather develop the factual foundation for amendments to the current or future iterations of the RMP. Indicators and milestones developed during this process will help to identify where RMP policy is most effective and where amendments to policy or programs may be called for. Based on the factual outcomes, the Council may choose to make policy or programmatic changes to the RMP where possible or where necessary, recommend further study of select topic areas that require additional science evidence in order to effectively adjust and administer change. As you recall this slide from last month, we now have signed contracts for both the monitoring program recommendation report and the fiscal impact assessment. Both consultants have begun work on data collection. As data collection continues, the consultant will be working in collaboration with the RMP update committee on identification of indicators and milestones, among other tasks. What I'd like to do today is review with you the scope of services for the fiscal impact assessment as we get started on that program. The fiscal impact assessment consists of five primary tasks: project management, a regional economic evaluation, demographic and real estate analysis, fiscal and financial analysis, and the final fiscal impact assessment report. I'll walk through each of these tasks in more detail in the coming slides. Task A is a project management task. The consultant is tasked with assisting the council in drafting the scope of services, conducting monthly project management meetings, and providing summary notes, and to prepare for and attend five in-person presentations before the council. Work on developing the scope of services has already been completed. Details of the project management meetings will be shared with the RMP update committee and reported out to the full council. The first of five in-person project presentations will occur at next month's council meeting, where our consultants will present to the council their approach for completing the project. The remaining four in-person project presentation meetings will provide a formal presentation to the council on the results of tasks B, C, and D, and a final presentation of the completed draft report. Under task B, PlaceWorks will identify the key trends of the region for the 2004 through 2014 time period and anticipated economic conditions and trends for the 2014 through 2024 time period. The analysis will focus on the areas of population, real estate, economic growth, and municipal finance. The analysis will identify the overall trends that are being tracked that can mask the conditions of individual municipalities, identifying regional conditions not unique to the Highlands region. The economic evaluation will cover economic structure and business establishments, employment, wages and incomes, commuting patterns, and labor force qualifications. In addition, the evaluation will explore the potential to preserve and expand the agriculture and forestry sector and the tourism sector, and the similarities and differences between the Highlands region and other regions of New Jersey and adjacent but similar regions in Pennsylvania and New York. This report will be presented to the council by the consultant at a regularly scheduled public meeting. Under task C, PlaceWorks will conduct a comprehensive analysis of demographic and real estate trends for the 2004 through 2014 time period and forecast for the 2014 through 2024 time period. Specifically, the consultant will provide forecasts for key indicators focusing on the nature and extent of growth and development driven by the economic trends assessed in the regional economic evaluation. The analysis will use data such as the number of households, household characteristics, population, population characteristics, number of housing units by type, building permits and developments by type, and property sales. The analysis will also describe similarities and differences between the Highlands region and other regions of New Jersey and adjacent but similar regions of Pennsylvania and New York. This real estate analysis will be presented to the council at a regularly scheduled public meeting. Under task D, the consultant will develop with the council staff the fiscal impact assessment report. This final analysis will estimate the fiscal impact that the Highlands Act and RMP have had on the counties and municipalities as compared to similar non-Highlands communities and municipalities. The analysis will also compare the fiscal impacts of water quality preservation measures, not limited to those in the Act, in the Highlands region to water quality preservation measures in other regions of New Jersey and adjacent regions in Pennsylvania and New York. Finally, the consultant will project the cash flow the Highlands Council would need to continue implementing the Act from 2014 through 2024. This analysis will also be presented to the Council at a regularly scheduled public meeting. Under task E, the consultant will combine the three separate analyses into one comprehensive report, prepare a thorough executive summary, and assemble the complete appendix of all supporting data and tables. The consultant will also prepare a municipal fact book that provides a list summary of the project's data for each county and municipality in a 1 to 2 page format. And that is the scope of services for the fiscal impact assessment. Are there any questions at this time?
I had a question. The cash flow timetable under Task D, how is that information going to be used?
Sorry, who's under Task D?
D, yeah. Under deliverables, there's going to be a cash flow timetable.
So that's required as part of the Act, and mm-hmm. that runs through the various funding that the Council receives through appropriations.
So then we would use that to inform the state what we would need in order to continue to implement the Act? Is that what we're thinking of?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it has budgetary implications for us.
Thank you. One other question. In the report that accompanied this, the memo from the committee signed by the acting executive director, I'm just curious, you know, about the discussion that happened at the meeting, and wondering about Committee Chair Alstead under number 5 asking about looking at the septic system maintenance requirements and what would be the, I guess, economic impacts is what he's talking about there, and Ms. Nordstrom adding that such impacts may be good indicators. I'm just curious. Indicators of what, and what did you look at there? And what was Kurt asking for?
Well, I think what we're seeking to do is identify different elements that can be measured and evaluated that reflect the impacts of the Act in the region, from saving trees to salamanders to household septic systems. And you may recall that one of the things that have been imposed is a requirement for home septic system maintenance. And so what I said was, you know, what are the impacts of that requirement on a homeowner in the Highlands region? Is it costing them money? Is it creating a situation where systems need to be replaced? Or has it found that the maintenance requirements are resulting in systems that are functioning better, resulting in better and cleaner effluent being recharged into the groundwater? We don't know those answers, and that's why I listed that as an example of something that we want to evaluate. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us as council members to bring up, which we discussed at the last meeting, different indicators that we want to evaluate so that we can fully encompass the impacts of the plan on the region.
I think, you know, probably what made me wonder what you were talking about is, I think actually the septic system maintenance requirements is something that was required, you know, under the water quality management planning regulations that were adopted by DEP and now, of course, put on hold by an executive order. But across the state, everybody is supposed to be maintaining their septic systems now. And any good town is, you know, telling their residents to, you know, pump regularly and check your baffles and all the things that you would do in order to maintain a good functioning septic system. But I guess the concern that I have, and I was hoping that this was not going to foreshadow, that there would be sort of a loading up of some things that really wouldn't be different here than they would be in other places. And also, then, when you look at the cost, just like you just said, Kurt, the other flip side of that is the savings that a homeowner has by not having to replace a $40,000 septic system.
I think you're misunderstanding this, because this is just to bring up, just like the web portal is going to accept a lot of information, all of us are going to disagree with it, some level or another, and it's just an item for us to look at, and this was no different than that. This was not a direction for them to go find a way to get around it. It's just added to the list, just as you're going to have items to add to the list, and Mr. Bowden, and on down the line. So that's all it was.
I
didn't want to get into a debate of whether it's good or bad at this point in time.
Just would like to flag it as something that I think is a good example of not a precise type of analysis that could be done unless you really got into the weeds. And I don't expect that this sort of an analysis, fiscal analysis, is going to get way down into those weeds, looking at each person's savings because they're under replacement septic systems, or cost because they pumped it more regularly.
But like any master plan, you identify places that you may want to look at for your next review. So these are things that you can identify so you can't get down into the weeds and look at it.
I wanted to register my concern that we're getting more too specific here, and we're not going to be going to that level.
Exactly.
In the analysis.
Any other comments so far?
Sorry. Mr. Chairman, if it's okay with you, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Carol Dickin, our communications manager, and Buck Sweeney, our consultant on the public comment web portal, to present that to the council.
Great.
Thank you very much. So as I hope you all remember from our last meeting, we talked a little bit about some changes that we were going to be making to the homepage of the website to make it much easier for members of the public to access information about the monitoring program. And we had implemented that for those of you who I hope have seen it. We have added a graphic element to the homepage that allows people to click right into program information. What's not there now, this is just a mock-up of a 2B model. When we are ready, when the comment portal is ready to go live, we will add right here, submit comments. So right from the homepage, people will be able to access that landing page. And as I had said, you know, when we do the site, this is what they go to now, the monitoring program, and I had said that this would grow over time. We would evolve to add elements as they became, as the project, the monitoring program, progressed. So we will be adding, again, this is just a mock-up, this is not live on our site. I have done some PowerPoint wizardry to make this seem like a real website, but it's not. So people will be able to submit comments from, they will go to this page that will give them the background information about what we're seeking in terms of comments, and then they will be able to go right to the comment portal. Again, they can get to it from within the monitoring program or directly from the homepage, they will go right there. So there will be multiple ways for people to get there, and then they will click this button, and it says very clearly that you will be leaving the Highlands Council website. And I will now let Buck Sweeney introduce himself and take you through the rest of it.
Hello, Council. I appreciate the opportunity to come out and spend a few minutes with you. I wanted to tell you a little bit about my background quickly. I'm from Salt Lake City. I built my career, believe it or not, as an expert in public comment analysis. Shockingly, there are people like me. Yes, yes. Can you believe there are experts in public comment analysis? I've read, managed, summarized, and reported on close to 4 million public comments in my career. Have worked for most of the federal agencies, and over time, whenever they have a really big project, 100,000 comments drop, and they've got to make sure it gets managed on time and nothing gets lost, they call me. One of the products we developed to help with that is a web-based application called Comment Pro. Much like eBay, eBay has a nice web front end that you see and interact with, and on the back side there's an enterprise database that manages all of that data and content. Comment Pro does exactly the same thing with public comments. So it's a tool for your planners and practitioners to be able to quickly group, summarize, and deal with that public comment in a way that's efficient for them. It'll save a lot of time and money in your process. On the front end, what we have here is your commenting portal. And I'm going to walk you through a couple of steps on it. As somebody comes to the website, there's a few things that I'll point out. We've really focused this on getting the comments in and providing only the most minimally important information, so they understand that you submit comments. We're taken into a web form where you're able to enter your personal information, and I'll scroll down this. We have a pre-populated example here. So you put your email in anywhere where there's an asterisk. It's a required field. It goes to individual automatically, but you can change that order type as you like. Block and lot information can be placed in there. And then you go through a process of indicating what your comment is about. In this case, somebody might say, I want to talk about implementation, local participation, and then they go ahead and place their comment in here. And when they submit, they're given an opportunity to go through a cycle of adding more comments, too. So there might be another comment that's about something along the lines of ag resources and RMP format communication. So this will run them through a cycle of commenting until they are ready to call it good on their input, and they click I'm done. And they're sent an email that says thank you very much from the council, and given an opportunity to navigate back to the home page. So that's the way it will work. Any questions?
Real quick, you mentioned they can post multiple comments.
Yes.
We prefer it that way.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
To have separate comments?
Yes.
I didn't really see it. Does it spell that out in the beginning? One comment at a time? Because otherwise I'm just going to get in there, identify their comment, post it, and then you're going to keep going down until they meet their character.
Right. So max. So we talked about that earlier today. Carol's writing a piece of language right now that we'll put at the top of the first comment page right here, where it says submit additional comments or submit comments. We'll create that indication that you can post multiple comments. It will be taken through a cycle.
As a communications professional, I'll tell you, reading is not happening anymore for people to read. But I think we're going to get that anyway. But in as much as we can try to stem that, I agree with you completely. And so that's, we talked about that this morning. So we will try to make it as clear as possible for those who are inclined to actually read the instructions that you will have the opportunity to submit multiple comments. And Corey and professional team have really already been discussing how they will manage when the comments come in that are that full 20,000 characters, but are talking about five or six different things. So we'll manage that. We'll make sure that everything gets taken into account.
Any other council comments?
I just had a question. Will these be public then? Will the public be able to see them when they're posted?
Not immediately, correct, Corey?
Correct.
Eventually,
but not as you, I mean, some of these agencies, you know, right away, what you post is up there and everybody can see it.
Yeah, this will go through, because there's some coding information in here and some resource topics are being selected. There's a quality control process the staff needs to undertake to make sure things end up in the right places before we get it out there.
And then once it's up there, I mean, it won't be at the end of the public comment period. It would just be once the categorization is done, it then goes up, or?
That will be up to staff.
Yeah, I think Corey can speak to that more directly.
We had not anticipated making the comments public until after the full review and response to all of the comments has been made.
Well, just one other question. I think it's just really great. You know, it's going to make it easier for people, and it also loads some of the work onto the commenter of categorizing up front, which is a good idea. I'm just wondering if there can be maybe a little more explanation about what those topic areas mean. Like, I don't know if people are going to know what indicators are, for instance. You know, I mean, I'm maybe not there, but maybe a glossary or something that just explains a little bit of plan implementation. We know what it is, but, a resident might not know.
Yeah, I can speak to that real quickly, as from the perspective of user interface, which is what we're dealing with here. There's a fine line that you have to kind of keep with to make it so that this is slick and efficient and simple. If we add too much to it, the complexity overwhelms the simplicity of the commenting process.
Most websites have a little question mark or something that's onto the right that if you click it, a little pop up tells you what it is.
A floating sort of thing.
All you ask for.
We'll see if we have some option like that within the architecture of what was used to develop this web form.
And if not, maybe a glossary or just something that they can go to get a little further explanation. Otherwise, it might get things poorly categorized in a lot of other.
Right, and we talked about that today as well. That's a risk you always run. There's a fair to really good chance that many people will just put things in without being careful about the categorization. We expect some of that to occur.
I think by giving a better explanation, though, we can probably minimize that.
Right.
In one way or another, I agree with Tracy.
I think that's a great idea, Tracy. We'll work to make something happen.
We'll make sure we have a way to execute that before it's rolled out to the public's version.
I just wanted to say I agree.
Does the regional master plan have a glossary in it already?
Yeah, they don't necessarily have.
Yeah, but when somebody's going to
post a comment, you know, these are residents anywhere that, you know, might not understand technically where they want it. So, kind of fairness, I think. So. Any other comments on this part?
Okay. I think that's it for Carol, and I think that's it for Corey. We meet again in September, believe it or not, already.
I would just add that having been through this once already the first time out, I think staff has been incredibly organized in its approach to how we're going to tackle this assessment of the plan, and my hat's off to them. I've been spending a lot of time within these last 6 months working on this, and I, having seen how bad it was the first time around, it really is refreshing to see how on the ball we are now. And then I would pass that on to our subcontractor. It was a disaster last time, so don't screw up.
Anything else? Mr. Olson?
No, thank you.
We're done on here.
Thank you.
At this point in time, it brings us to the public comments. I will ask that if anybody's here to speak on the Fenimore issue, that they hold their comments so I can step aside. And at this point in time, I'll open it up to the public. Does anybody wish to be heard on any issues?
I'm Judy Summers. I'm executive director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. First of all, I want to compliment you on that fantastic acquisition of property that you are moving forward with in West Milford. That is exactly the sort of thing that we should be doing with the PSE&G funding, and you're exactly right. Thank you very much. It was wonderful. Secondly, I just brought in some things since we seem to be moving into the world of analyzing data to see what's been going on in the Highlands economically. There has recently been a Morris County Park Commission, and I'm sure our acting director knows about this, about open space, the importance of open space in Morris County. It's an excellent report. It has a lot of data involved. I'm going to give you a couple of things from it, but it is really worthwhile, and I hope that the consultants will have an opportunity to review that. There's also a recent report done for the National Historical Park, the National Park Service, Morristown National Historical Park. The National Park tourism is a significant driver in the national economy, returning $10 for every $1 invested in the National Park Service. I have here the press release that went out with that. And then, thanks to Morris County, and I hope other counties will do this, and maybe this is something that you can consider permitting grants to allow other counties to consider this. Morris County has just an excellent tourism bureau, and they are a font of information, particularly about the impact of tourism in Morris County specifically. But they recently gave me part of a report that comes from its tourism economic impact, and it covers every county in New Jersey. It looks at tourism direct sales. It looks at tourism. It looks at lodging. It looks at food and beverage, retail, recreation, transportation. It looks at employment. It looks at tourism tax impacts, all of this by county, and obviously it can be segregated for, well, most of Morris County is in the Highlands, so this is all very positive information. There's very good news from all of these reports, and so I'm just going to share this with the staff.
Thank you very much. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on any issue? Yes, sir.
Thanks for letting me speak here today. My name's Hank Klump. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area, which was put into preservation by politics and not a scientific study. I have asked to see the study. Nobody could find it.
The Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act is 10 years old. Should the people who have had their property values stolen be celebrating? I doubt it. I am told that the people in the state's most populated cities, like North Jersey City, Patterson, and Elizabeth, depend on Highlands Water. Are they paying for anything? If the Highlands Act is undergoing a mandate review, maybe the review can tell me why I'm still paying the price. I am told that I can apply for compensation through open space and farmland preservation program. However, these programs are currently depleted. But it is possible that new funding in the future may welcome news to me and other landowners. This is nothing but a joke. Landowners who have had their property values stolen are being asked to accept pennies on the dollar with these programs. Governor Christie is being criticized for trying to weaken the Highlands rule, but all he really wants is fairness. He knows the value of the properties that were stolen. Anyone who believes one word that comes out of the mouth of Senator Bob Smith, the senator's sponsor, will believe anything. He sings the praise of Act passed 10 years ago and now wants to pass the open space question. He stood up and promised that landowners be totally compensated for their losses and no one would be financially harmed. I guess people could say anything to get what they want. Governor Christie has actually said to me, Hank, I feel your pain. I hope I will be able to help you. Jeff Dill, in the word of fairness, even his vocabulary, maybe. He gave Governor Christie an F on his annual report card. Who cares what he thinks? When push comes to shove, Tittle, the whole Sierra Club, Smith, and anyone with half a brain knows that the Highlands Act is based on lies, providing no compensation for landowners, and that as much as water that is used is also wasted. Tittle claims water resources belong to all of us. I know the price my family is paying. How much is Tittle or Smith paying? Tittle does not speak highly of the Highlands Council members. He is upset because the majority of the council members are now Christie appointees. Is it too much for me to even hope that fairness can be on the horizon? Please teach Tittle a lesson on fairness. Thanks very much. I appreciate your time. I got one P.S. question. It will only take a second. In that Bergen field, you said the 8825. Is that the law? Because I believe it's challenged because that was used there. Does anybody know? Is 8825 the law? It is the law?
In Bergenfield?
Well, for the state, for the Highlands. Is that the law for density for septic systems?
It's in the Highlands. It's not. It's
the Highlands,
in,
I mean.
Bergenfield's not in the Highlands.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. My name is Erica Dynocki, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just had one quick question about the web portal. I'm wondering if there will be an option to upload documents. PDFs, photos, anything like that. As it stands, if I wanted to submit something that CDR wrote, a report, copying and pasting it, you know, PDF is kind of maddening. So if there were an option to upload documents wholly, I think that would be helpful. Thank you.
Is there a stuff anymore?
No.
Not up next.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carl Fnett. I live in Roxbury. I'm not here about Fenimore. This question has to do with the discussion that Roxbury is having on the Hercules site. 10 years ago, the Hercules site was said that it's dead property because of all the pollution. And now that the our council is talking about in concept phase something to do with that property again. And I think before it gets too far along, if it's no longer polluted, what makes it no longer polluted? And so you guys don't get in the same situation you are with Fenimore, and I'm not talking about that. We have to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes and develop a piece of property that's already been said that it's polluted. And if it's said that it's polluted and it's on record it's polluted, I think this council and the Roxbury Council want to go back and look at all that information on people, company. If you'd like, Mr. Riley, I can give you the name of a company that was interested in buying that property and developing it, and it got squished. So I just hope this doesn't screw things up again. I just wanted the council, the entire council, to know that this is coming. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Carl. If you want to give me a call, I can explain it.
During my last public comment, my 3 minutes were charged with the full minute during which Mr. Clump helped adjust the microphone
for
my
height.
I was then rudely cut off mid-sentence. A propensity of this council that communicates your gross lack of respect for those of us who bear the $6 billion cost of the Highlands Act. 3 minutes of comment are to begin when the speaker actually begins commenting. I am beginning my comments now. My name is Deborah Post, property owner, Chester Township. At the last council meeting, Highlands stakeholders were defined as government agencies and Highlands advocacy groups and institutions. Apparently, bureaucrats and lobbyists are the only people qualified to be Highland stakeholders. I can't imagine a worse commentary on the functioning of New Jersey's government than the idea that only those who work for the government or are paid to be lobbyists are to have any input in governance. To the specific issue, those property owners who bear the $6 billion cost of the Highlands Act are not considered stakeholders by this council, but the paid lobbyists and their organizations are stakeholders. The lobbyists get a voice. The harmed landowners do not. So we are told we are just the public and will be welcome to public meetings where, like here, we will be cut off before our thought is complete. We will be told we have 3 minutes to voice our concerns about a 460-page document. We are told that because we are not lobbyists, formally organized into a lobby legal entity, we have no right to be heard. The harmed landowners haven't forgotten the DEP's property owner meeting a few years back. Ms. Summers and Mr. Tittle arranged for the meeting to be packed with Sierra Club members claiming to be Highlands property owners because they own a house. They filibustered a meeting meant for the harmed landowners. I sent polite correspondence to the Highlands Council, which I am attaching to these comments, specifically inquiring regarding the question of harmed property owner representation. I received an email basically responding to my inquiry with a non sequitur. Harmed property landowners will be invited to some undefined meeting. But the harmed property owners are not on the list of stakeholder meetings. The email response to me was a finesse at best, but really it was just untruthful. I would like to be very clear. It is property owners who have suffered financial harm due to the Highlands Act who are a distinct stakeholder group. We are harmed property owners. We demand stakeholder status.
We are working on stakeholder status. Anybody else in the public? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Jody Anderson. My husband and I are the owners of 74 acres, a deciduous tree farm in Lebanon Township, Hunterdon County, all in the preservation area of the Highlands. This land has been in my family for about 75 years. We never sold 1 acre. For the past 40 years, it has been, in quotes, preserved, cared for, by my husband and me. We are of an age now where the burdens are overwhelming. And we are unable to sell even one building lot to get some money to pay for upkeep of both the buildings as well as the responsibilities of the Woodland Management Plan. As you know, the value of our property has plummeted. If we were able to sell with the onerous restrictions in the preservation area, the selling price would be peanuts. However, there are no comparables due to lack of sales. In other parts of New Jersey, the public pays to purchase preservation easements or purchase land outright. In the preservation area of the Highlands, the stroke of a pen declared us preserved. In addition, the latest insult to the Highlands landowners has taken place. The legislature put on the November ballot a constitutional amendment hiking the portion of the corporate tax dedicated to open space preservation to be spread among a large variety of causes. In addition, the dual appraisal bill, which had expired, has not been renewed as yet. Without that, the value today is much lower. Perhaps, since this is 10 long years, the real hope is we will die, and the state of New Jersey will be able to claim our land.
Pat Moffitt, Peacock. Mr. Davis represented, he reviewed over 20 pages of scientific misconduct evidence and found not the slightest misdoing. He refuses, however, to provide any explanation or any refutation. The omissions made in open replies and state documents, not my opinion, reveal misconduct that includes systematically misrepresenting the essential claims made in support of the nitrate model, the need for nitrate restrictions, and omitting the associated water supply risks. Not that it should impact the Council's duty to investigate material matters, but an Oprah-obtained memo from Lisa Jackson to Governor Corzine shows the Council, not DEP, drove the nitrate regulations. Have Ms. Dennis provide you the validation for the nitrate model your staff called proven. She should be able to print in minutes the plot, the HUC-14 median nitrate and septic density data against the model predictions. In fact, she should already have a copy. Council can know whether the model is or is not valid before meeting's end. My validation plot agrees with Oprah-extracted DEP study showing the model has zero predictability. Perhaps why the DEP study wasn't publicly released, you haven't seen the validation, and no other state or federal agency uses a similar model. I trust council members are aware of this summer's Lake Erie bloom of toxic blue-green algae that forced National Guard mobilization to distribute drinking water. Blue-greens produce some of nature's most powerful toxins that cause the death of wildlife and humans and been linked to liver disease and neurodegenerative disorders. These blooms occur under low nitrate conditions. North Jersey and DEP studies for this reason warn any nitrate restrictions risk inducing these blooms in Highland reservoirs. Despite the serious public health consequences, these studies were omitted from your reports. Outrageously, your staff then claimed, without any supporting study or citation, that restrictions were required to prevent these blooms. Perhaps the council can prevail on Mr. Davis to explain why suppressing state studies of known water supply and public health risks, making false claims, and selecting a failed model is not misdoing. The act obliges the council to investigate any threat to water supply, calling it your duty and responsibility, and to this end empowers the council to compel testimony under oath. It is therefore difficult to understand why Mr. Davis is said to take this somewhere else. Where or why, he does not say, is the council was created for this very purpose. Before I take the evidence of misconduct and public health risks elsewhere, I would like to know whether this is a decision shared by council members, as these matters relate directly to your mission and to your oath of office. I await your reply.
Anybody else in the public wish to hear? I'm sorry, I'm going to be here first. Yeah. Good.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township. You heard about Lebanon Township, the home of our former executive director. When we went through the public comment period before, when Lisa Jackson solicited public comment for the regulations for the preservation area, the strategy there was to lump them together. I was number 58 or whatever, and so. And after you lump them together, you rewrite the question to one that you would rather answer, and then you answer that question. So our questions were not answered there either. So I don't know if you can improve upon this time-proven process or not. Lisa Jackson proves it works rather well. And when you take public comments, part of the public comment ranking should be your stake. What is your stake? If you're an executive director of a, quote, environmental group, it should be so noted. If you're a landowner in the preservation or planning area of the Highlands, it should be so noted. And I noticed whenever you show me pictures of barns, they all look so pretty. I've previously submitted to this council pictures of barns that I can take, I can shoot a roll of film in 2 hours of barns that are falling down, dilapidated, because they are of no longer any economic value. The land around them is also in an unkempt state. This is one of the pictures of Highlands agriculture that I never see on your literature. As far as septic maintenance is concerned, Rutgers has done this. How many times do you have to restudy the same old problem? If it is indeed a problem, the answer is when you get the answer you want. That's when you stop. And you said earlier on, and Corey said earlier on, that you're interested in a factual income. Will the factual income include science? There's no reason in the world to accept your science as factual. Everything that this is based on should be challengeable. And I'm asking a question. Will the science be challengeable? Several meetings ago, Judge Gressler suggested that there should be a committee formed which he would like to be part of, concerning Highlands landowner payment. And from what I gather, and you agreed with it, Mr. Riley, and from what I gather, this seems to have been co-opted by your staff. I wonder how this sits with you, Mr. Riley, and with Mr. Gressler. I have a queasy feeling about the nature of this committee that has been co-opted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Shope, the bank committee, which met in August, has scheduled on September 4th a meeting to start discussions on compensation for landowners.
So, TDR Bank?
It's the...
HTC Banking Committee. It consists of Mr. Gressler, myself, and Mr. Riley, and Mr. Mizziola.
Could you say that again?
The HTC Banking Committee will be having jurisdiction over landowner compensation. Our next meeting will address specifically landowner compensation. On that committee is Mr. Gressler, Chairman, Mr. Mizziola, and myself.
Super.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to
hear? And Mr. Francis, forgive me. Mr. Francis, too, forgive me. Sorry.
Is that open to the public?
No.
Yep. Oh, so you'll be having a meeting.
Please, no comments. We have a new speaker.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Sir.
Hi, thank you. My name is Stephen Shaw from Mountain Lakes, speaking as a 40-year resident of the Highlands, a former mayor, and a director of the New Jersey Builders Association. Tonight, I'd like to just touch on two topics. There's many more I could, but I know time is limited. Number one is I would respectfully request that council suspend the use of the checklist ordinance approach. I'm of the opinion that it violates the municipal land use law. I think it circumvents public input and transparency. In essence, it's a stealth approach to plan conformance. I think the residents in the municipality that's going the checklist route don't realize what is going on and what is happening. Especially troubling to me is its use on an interim basis that has no end, can go on indefinitely. Town can stay in that limbo indefinitely. To me, having served in local government where the rubber meets the road is when you have to toss out your entire land use ordinance and adopt a new one. Through a very public process, that public notice would certainly get noticed, as opposed to one that simply advertises for an ordinance that's changing the municipality's checklist. That's not going to get any notice, but when you start saying you're going to change a municipality's entire land use ordinance, believe me, the residents will take notice, and that's when the municipal officials will be able to hear the residents' concerns and react. And I think the use of the checklist ordinance preempts the public input and its stealth approach. The other topic for tonight I'd like to comment on is the RMP update process. We very much look forward to participating in the process. We just hope that it continues to be open and transparent, especially with the financial impact analysis and that data. We look very forward to being able to review that. I don't think anybody will disagree that a great deal has changed in the last 10 years. The comment portal is good, but I think that what's more important is what happens to that public comment portal. To me, kind of conjures up a black hole, so I hope that's not where it all goes. And I think some others have spoken to that concern. And I'm not sure, I didn't really get to see all the buttons, but you know, they look like they might be limited, and hopefully there's an opportunity. You know, something doesn't seem to fit in that pigeonhole to make a general comment. I do think it would be important for other types of input, stakeholder meetings from both the interested groups, private sector, and property owners, of course. And I'm not sure if there's going to be the technical advisory committee groups again, as there were the first time around. The New Jersey Builders Association would certainly like to be able to participate in one of those. I think you're also going to find in this comment process, you will probably get comments that would really pertain to the Act as opposed to your regional master plan. And maybe there should be consideration that there be a formal process that this group may eventually make recommendations to the legislature about amendments to the Act itself. Thank you for your time.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Terry Kern, PIACON. I'm hoping this council keeps an open mind in reviewing this. I hear a lot of comments from the paid lobbyists to my left, always painting a rosy picture. And I can hope that none of the council members here are holding their breath to get anything other than a rosy picture, or we may not see many of you. We're certainly not going to show both sides, and I'm sure all of you are aware of that. Most of you seem to be much more intelligent than that. But please keep an open mind. Most everything coming from there, we all know what it is. Pictures, rosy pictures. Like Dave suggested, the barn in the picture, all perfect, all real nice, not reality. Bicyclers aren't keeping the general stores open, like I heard at one of the meetings 10 years ago. All the tourists are going to keep these general stores going when they stop with their bikes to get a sandwich. Well, let me tell you, it's the contractors keeping the stores open, like myself, buying sandwiches every day, trying to make a living and work. And you can't do that here anymore. So please keep an open mind. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none. How did you want to handle this?
We go to executive session. I can read the resolution.
Please.
Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, and following, permits the holding of closed sessions by public bodies in certain circumstances, and the council is of the opinion that those circumstances presently exist, and whereas the general nature of the subjects to be discussed are A, litigation in connection with the matter of Danielson versus Chester Township, and B, pending and or potential litigation in connection with the Fenimore landfill, both of which may require advice from counsel subject to the attorney-client privilege. Now, therefore, be resolved that the council may enter into closed session at its public meeting of August 21, 2014 for these purposes. It is anticipated at this time that the nature of the matters to be discussed in closed session will be made public upon completion of the resolution of these issues to be discussed, except any matter that that any matter protected by the attorney-client privilege will not be discussed. So we would ask, Mr. Chairman, for you, if there could be a motion.
Yeah, can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Motion, second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Procedurally, we would go into executive session, discuss those issues, then come out. And at that point, as you indicated, Mr. Chairman, you will not be heading the meeting, but Vice Chairman Alstead, at which time public comments on the Fenimore issue would be taken. There may be, we will go back into open session if the council so votes. After the executive session, there's a possibility we would open it. We will go open, but there may be further action taken by the council at that time.
Okay, and just for the record, I'm going into executive session, but only for the first issue, and I will be leaving for the second. Sure. So at this point in time, we'll take 5 minutes, and then we'll go into executive session, and we'll try to be as quickly as possible.
Can I come to order, please? We certainly appreciate you indulging us while we had to go into executive session, and we're certainly sorry that you had to wait, given the conflict of interest with Chairman Riley and the order that we need to do things in. Unfortunately, this is how it falls. So again, I apologize for any inconvenience. It's not done intentionally. Councilor is now going to report actions following executive session.
One of the matters discussed, thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. One of the matters discussed in the executive session was the potential settlement of the litigation in the matter of Danielson versus Township of Chester and the New Jersey Highlands Council. There was discussion on that, and at this point in time, having had that discussion, there is a resolution before the council that would authorize settling this litigation in an amount of $12,500 with no admission of liability. That's the resolution that's before the council. If the council, if the vice chairman were so to choose, this would be the time for the vice chairman to call for a motion and a second and a vote on that resolution, if that's the way the council is disposed.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve that resolution.
So moved.
Motion made. Motion to second. Open for public comments strictly on that resolution, please. Is there any public comment on that resolution? Not being any public comment on that resolution, public portion will be closed. Any council member comments? Not, we'll call a roll call, please.
Council member Alstead?
Yes.
Council member Carluccio?
Yes.
Council member Daugherty?
Yes.
Council member Dressler?
Yes.
Council member Francis?
Yes.
Council member Holtaway?
Aye.
Council member James?
You're
back. Council member Richko?
Yes.
Council member Sevetich?
Yes.
Council member Vizioli?
Yes.
Council member Bowden?
Yes.
Council member Walton?
Yes.
Motion is carried.
Yep.
We'll now open up to public portion. Again, this public portion is restricted to the Fenimore landfill. Remind everybody that 3 minutes, please, and proper decorum. Somebody like to speak? Yes, sir. Remember to state your name, please, and your residence.
Good evening. My name is Ken Collins. I'm from Andover, New Jersey. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. I appreciate you looking into the stream that runs beneath the landfill, but I want you to know you're incorrect. It is there. We have someone here who will come up and tell you about her experience falling into that stream, as she did at the last meeting. And you can go to a website called historicaerials.com, and you can go to Fenimore. You can go to Fenimore landfill and look at an aerial of the site at 2007, and then right next to it, you can just click on 1970, and it gives you the exact same geographic area, and you can see the stream that runs through the landfill in the 1970 maps for yourself. So I would appreciate it if you would all go look at that, so you can see with your own eyes where the stream goes beneath the garbage. We've been told by NJDEP, and they were on the news, Larry Raganese was on the news making claims that what's being trucked in currently at the site is clean fill from a virgin source, and that is not true. If you go to Roxbury's own website, the township website, and you look at the testing results, the following things are found in the soil at a level of concern. Phenanthrene, toluene, benzene, dienbutyl phthalate, naphthalene, pyrene, beryllium, and manganese, elevated levels of pH. The beryllium and obviously toluene, benzene, and these other horrible chemicals that I've mentioned are toxic to all things that live in water. And Drake's Brook is downstream. Right now they're trucking in this soil, and every time it rains, all of these things are running downhill, and they're going to run into the streams and kill all the aquatic life that hasn't already been killed. There's hardly any there now. And it's your job to protect this, and the water is what you do, and the water is what is being poisoned. They're bringing in more materials that are poisoning the water, and why you can't do anything about it is beyond me. These trucks are rolling a couple of hundred every day, bringing this material in. There's no, we're not disputing, you can't dispute that this material's in there. Look at Roxbury's website, look at the test results. And how you guys can sit there and allow these chemicals to be trucked into Roxbury after what we've gone through is obscene, and you've got to do something about it. I've got a map here that I'm going to give you, a list. I'm going to tick some people off that are here working with me. This map has locations downstream from the landfill where cancer cases are. Please fix this mess.
Thank you very much. Somebody else like to comment? Yes, please.
Hello, my name is Kathy Panetti. You remember me. I'm from Ledgewood, and I have Drake's Brook in my backyard. We actually had the blue heron show up yesterday. He stepped in the water. We haven't seen him in 3 months, and after 10 minutes stepped out. So whatever Ken is saying is in there. It's bad. I was one of the people that tested with Raritan Headwaters this year. I reported to you last time. We had to stay until we found 100 little creatures living in there, and we were counting. I could fit 10 underneath my fingernail. They were so tiny. So whatever it is, it's the ducks haven't gone in, and in the blue heron, it must be burning them. They won't even swim. That stream that we tested is the same stream that Raritan Headwaters tests every year, and it comes through the landfill, now underneath the landfill. then the two streams that are, were diverted around the landfill come into it. It is real. I slipped and fell and had bruises for a week, so it's absolutely there. I also wanted to comment that Mayor Riley was kind enough to call DEP last Tuesday before our council meeting and try to find out some details before the trucks started rolling on Monday, because it's been a fiasco ever since trucks started rolling and our lives have gone downhill and our health has gone downhill and the environment and the drinking water. So they assured him that the soil being brought in was from 16 sites that were guaranteed to be clean fill and quote-unquote virgin sites. We don't know what virgin sites means. I guess it means untouched, unpulled from yet. Doesn't mean that they're clean. But there is a DEP regulation on the amount and the types of substances, I think there were around 12 or 16, that can be considered clean fill. I mean, I don't think it's clean fill, but it's acceptable. What Ken found from the one result that's posted on Roxbury website that's been brought in so far from testing something from the truck is above what the DEP considers to be acceptable levels for their clean fill. So the chemicals in the first place, which we're not happy with, and second of all, they're even above the levels. Well, my concern is the DEP is also still not telling us. Ken followed a truck coming out of the quarry on Monday. That's how we knew where one of the trucks was coming from. We identified one of the 16 sites. The DEP still refuses to tell us the other 15 sites, which is very concerning. Because if this one, and there's a nice picture on the front of it that Ken photoshopped it, it's a DEP remediation site.
Ten second point.
Why are we getting clean fill from a DEP remediation site? So I'm very concerned about the other 15. And if you can do anything, they've got to be worse. Thank you.
Thank you. Somebody else like to speak, please? Yes, sir, please.
Phil Morocco, Ledgewood, New Jersey. I wasn't at the last meeting. I did listen to the audio. And I know there was a lot of talk about the waiver that you had approved for the Fenmore site. Then there was a lot of discussion over what can and can't or may be built on top of this capped landfill. I don't know if you're all aware, but nothing could be developed on top of this cap. I don't know if you're aware of that. The reason why is because they're using a geomembrane cap, which is a tarp-like structure. And you know, by definition, you can't put anything on top of that, not even a park for the public. So that's kind of a moot point. There is the rest of the site, the remaining 40-some-odd acres, that it is still in question. But for the part that they're capping, again, I don't know if you were aware of that, but they really can't put anything on top of that, not a solar farm, nothing. If they wanted to do that, they'd have to use a clay cap, which is what they were going to do from the beginning. The hydrologic, the stream going to the landfill, did the DEP show you a hydrological study? Or did they just tell you that there was no stream under the landfill? Can anyone answer that? I guess my question is, I heard the comment. I'm just wondering where the source came from.
I think after his meeting, I think if you meet with our executive director, she'd be happy to share with you the research that she did regarding the information that she related in her report.
Okay, that's fair. I'd like to see a hydrological study because the DEP lies, and I could give you multiple examples, but I don't want to waste my time. There's residents that are having problems with their wells. There's residents that couldn't make it here tonight that have the H2S gases infiltrating their wells. They're unusable. They're on bottled water to bathe, to do laundry. This has been recurring for them, and it's going to remain a problem. There's issues with this remediation. You need to step in. You need to look at Section 81K of the Highlands Act. Section 81K of the Highlands Act says all remediation standards and remedial actions that involve real property located in the Highlands Preservation Area shall be consistent with provisions of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act. And they'll follow the Highlands Regional Master Plan and adopt it pursuant thereto. Section 81E includes landfill closures and actions pursuant to the Solid Waste Management Act. Why can't we use these sections of the Highlands Act to get some jurisdiction to provide some oversight? I think if you were to do a consistency review on this remediation, you would find that it's in violation of the Highlands Act. You would find that it's in violation of surface and groundwater non-configuration policies. It violates water usage with the 50,000 gallons a day they're using to run this scrubber, and it violates non-permeable cover percentages. These are serious issues. These are issues that are affecting our community. It's not just about the smell. You need to use your jurisdiction in the Highlands Act. Don't make us hire an attorney and make you do it. You need to look into Section 81K and 81E, use your jurisdiction, and step in, provide supervision and oversight over this remediation. Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Somebody else like to speak? Yes, sir.
Do I have to come up there?
Yes, you do. And just please announce your name and your residence, please.
I guess you know my name, but I'll say it again. Carl Panetta was here earlier. My only question is, can you answer some of his questions? Can anybody answer some of his questions? I think they're fair. Please, somebody answer some of those questions. Don't look at me like I'm an idiot. Can somebody answer some of those questions? Please, it's important.
Thank you.
Hearing no answer, that means nobody knows anything? Is that right? Nobody knows? Great.
Somebody else like to speak? That being the case, we're going to close the meeting then, the public portion at least. Are there any other comments from council members this evening?
Yes. I wanted to make a motion that we put on the agenda for the next time a resolution to rescind the redevelopment designation of the site.
I will second the motion.
Okay, a motion has been made. We place on the agenda for the next meeting a resolution to rescind the approval of the solar on the redevelopment site. That is the vote before us. Is there any discussion?
Yes. No, not on the vote, but on the gentleman's.
We have a motion on the floor now, so the discussion is limited to the motion. Being no discussion, we'll take a roll call vote, please. And the motion is to place on the agenda for the next meeting a motion to rescind the approval. So a no vote does not place it on the agenda, a yes vote places it on the agenda. And 8 votes are needed to affirm the action.
Tracy. Yes.
Okay. Councilmember Alston.
No.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
No.
Councilmember Holtaway.
No.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Richka.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli.
No.
Councilmember Bowden.
No.
Councilmember Walton.
No.
One, two, three, four, five yeses. Six noes.
Motion fails for a lack of 8 votes.
Mm. Make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion to adjourn.
You don't even have to explain the votes.
I just wanted to ask the council.
Disgraceful.
Yes.
On the comments on the two sections that were quoted in the act, can you just provide a memo based on the response to that question for the two sections? Where our jurisdiction is, as far as I understand.
I can advise the council next month.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. I made a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion to adjourn.